It's time for swap meet. Oh yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure, like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman.
And Greg Flam.
I have returned.
He has returned to the Wednesday nights. Swap Meet at DuPage Picker both on Facebook and Twitter. This, of course, our segment that we do every Wednesday night where we evaluate your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk. 312-981-7200. One of my favorite nights
always
of the week
fun.
Because I get to see Greg and I get to hear from you, the download listener, about what you've collected, what you've kept for your entire life. And you're trying to see if it's worth anything or what you want to brag about.
Right.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I kept it pretty light today, seeing as how we were off of the last couple of weeks. So I was hoping we'd get a little bit more calls in. But I brought in some staples, you know, your Legos, your Hot Wheels. And one of these things is not like the other, an O.J. Simpson comic book.
An O.J. Simpson
right.
comic book when he was a running back? Did he like
do
a comic book?
These are like 1995.
Causing crime?
Right.
Oh yeah, look at that.
They're 1995. So, and there's probably a handful of them.
It's
that
called
they put
the glove
out.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah, there's one that has the whole deal with that.
Really, like a cartoon or
a comic book that has the whole Brown family and everything on the cover. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so but the Hot Wheels are pretty cool. They were a series, the Beatles Yellow Submarine series, and I have all six here.
Wow.
Of the six sets, so that's kind of cool. And then this Lego set. Was kind of an exclusive where if you bought a bigger Lego set, they were giving these free. So you really couldn't buy these in the store. So it's kind of an exclusive, like Toys R Us type.
Does Lego, because they have exploded in the last couple of years with sets and they've kind of gone away from blocks. So that's really what you're going to get in if you go back to the 70s and 80s when it comes to Legos. It's just blocks. There's not these sets like they
right.
have now.
Right, and a ton more specialty pieces now than there were when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, I was looking online. I think it was a Harry Potter piece where I wanted to get the Harry Potter piece for my son for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking, and it was one that wasn't abnormally sized. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the mansion or the Hogwarts. It was
right.
something.
But
and it was a
crazy.
Ton of money because it's out of stock at this point, or it's not on the shelves.
Right.
So it was hundreds of dollars more than it was at face value.
Yeah, and just the figurine alone, like the Harry Potter figurine, I don't know what that specific one goes for, but almost any figurine is like $8 to $10
for the little guy.
Just a little figurine. It could be nothing, but if it's Star Wars or Harry Potter, it goes up from there.
Star Wars is another one because you know the new movie's coming out on Sunday.
Yep.
And I remembered my wife reminded me of last time it came out, and I'll never forget this that we had to scramble because it came out on December 18th or whatever.
Okay.
And the son goes and sees 8 years old or whatever. He comes out of there and he's like, Kylo Ren this, Kylo Ren that. This is what I want for Christmas. And you're like, yeah.
And then you try to find it.
And you're
it,
going
yeah.
running around Michigan Avenue trying to find a Kylo Ren lightsaber. But and my wife reminded because we're done with Christmas shopping now. We're ready to go. We're ahead of the game, right?
Right.
But then she's like, you know, because we're going to go see the movie this weekend.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, man. So like, in a way, I'm going to be like trying to talk it down. Yeah, you know,
downplay
not
it.
So much on this Kylo Ren this year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere. I wouldn't want to wear his mask. The one that talks.
Yep. Well, you got to go to a couple stores and return some items and get the hot.
Do they put so much out for The Force Awakens, the last Star Wars movie? Mm-hmm. They put so many toys and everything. Is that stuff at all starting to, is it ripen in any way when it comes to whether or not it's collectibles?
You know, the original three and the Kenner and 1977
that's
era
the only
stuff.
Ones that count?
Well, I mean, that's like, the will always be the big money. Everything else kind of wavers. Like now, almost everything Star Wars is kind of hot again because the movie's coming out. I mean, when I'm selling at Palatine, I hear people walking around. Do you have any Star Wars yet? I mean, you can feel the buzz building when a movie's coming out for that. You know, they want anything Star Wars, but when it kind of then it's out 6-8 months, it's back to the 70s,
does
early
the,
80s.
Does the stuff that was for the prequels, like when they came out in the 2000s with all the Ewan McGregor kind of Star Wars. Is that stuff worth anything now? Are we too still kind of in no man's land?
I mean, some of it is, but it's still, again, the first
the
three.
70s stuff, huh?
That always holds value, but the other stuff is as the movies are coming out, it kind of just ebbs and flows with new movie releases. And but
so
as a seller, I'm happy to accommodate people.
Any Star Wars toy that was made with lead.
Right.
That's worth something.
Yep.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. What do you want to brag about tonight? Do you want to talk Star Wars, Harry Potter? We could talk Lego sets. As Greg
Whatever.
Has one in studio. We're here for you tonight. 312-981-7200. It's a swap meet. Stay with us. It's Swap Meet here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kopp and Greg Flamm at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. You can find them there. We're evaluating your junk, your collectibles, your memorabilia, the things that you pull down from the attic or the basement, or things you just want to brag about. 312-981-7200. Let's kick it off tonight with John. John, what do you want to brag about?
Well, I got a square cardboard record from Burger King, from Red Skelton, The Pledge of Allegiance.
What?
Wow.
So yes, it's just the Pledge of Allegiance?
The Pledge of Allegiance, as reviewed by Red Skelton from the Red Skelton Hour, January 14th, 1969.
Yes.
Wow. So he's just...
It's random. And it's not as rare as you think. I'm looking up here, and they're going for really low, like $2 to $4.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I would think that'd be at least 25
but
bucks.
At least people are buying them. I mean, it looks like 7 have sold in the last month.
It's a square. It's like it's like the old records that are squares.
Yes, it's a square. The circle that the needle plays on is blue and round,
right?
But the actual record itself is cardboard and square.
Yep. And the
from Burger King.
Did you get it from Burger King or you just find it somewhere?
No. I've actually collected a lot of records from people just passing them down, people throwing them away. I've got a number of interesting things, and this just something that caught my eye.
Well, I would definitely pick that up at an estate sale if I saw, because as Justin knows, I'm a big collector of Flex records and the serial premium records that Honeycombs with banana splits, all that you had to cut out. I am a collector of that. I probably have 30 different
I thought you were
going to
say,
like that.
Justin knows how much of a fan I am of the Whopper.
Right, so if I... Right, you know.
They're just such different items.
They are, right. And, but I do... When I see them at estate sales or garage sales, I tend to pick them up. But unfortunately, this one's only worth $2 to $4.
Well, I don't know what's more surprising to me, the fact that the price of this thing, I thought it'd be more, Red Skelton, or that Burger King was around in 1969. Like yeah. I don't think of Burger King as a '60s company. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people are like, it's been around forever. But
yeah,
well, it might not have been. It was from the Red Skelton Hour, January 14th, 1969.
Oh, okay. So right, it could have been like Burger King was around in the '70s
and
just
later released it. Yeah,
quite possibly.
I'm interested. Like, how was it packaged? Like, did you have to buy a Whopper and then get the record, or was it part of a some other package that they
so
put together.
So many questions.
I know.
I wasn't born until 73.
All right, there you go. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. There you go. That's a good start.
Random's good. I like
that. Random's always good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's go to the text. 847 says, I have a form of a Rubik's Cube called an Alexander Star. What's it worth? An Alexander Star.
I could not find like a new one in the package, but used ones are going for $15 to $20.
What are they? They're just
and
different.
It's just a star-shaped Rubik's Cube. But I could not find one like new in the packaging, which is weird because there's like 150,000 of these Alex stars on eBay, but I could not find a new one for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, but used ones are $15 to $20. So
that's so the more than the Red Skelton cardboard record.
Yep, here we go again.
Oh man, I feel there should be the secondary. The next hour should be just me complaining about how unfair society is.
Right.
When it comes to collectors.
Yep.
Collectibles. 312-981-7200. It's funny, today I had a chance to go upstairs in the Trib Tower, because this building has been around for so many years and we're getting bounced out of here.
Right.
And so WGN Radio, the Tribune, we're all moving to different buildings. So coming up in, I think it's April, May or something like that, we're going to be moving across the river to another building. But there was so much history in that not sure it's going to be preserved. Do you come across a lot of building and architectural history, things like that at estate sales, or people who may have had, because it feels like every other person I run into goes, my uncle's the guy who did the plumbing on this thing.
Yeah, they're very like one or two off pieces that you might come across at an estate sale. Usually that is auctioned off, like when the building, you know, if they're going to demo the building, that's auctioned off at,
like
at one time.
Of pieces of concrete.
Or you have to have like a warehouse to store all this stuff in, so then that person or company just has their sale in that, you know, environment rather than like an estate sale type environment. But if I worked here, I would be going through the...
The garbage.
You go just go through some of the old hallways. There's got to be a vault in here somewhere.
Greg, what are you doing in the dumpster, bud?
That could be a segment for you. You know, like the Al Capone.
Yeah, right.
Geraldo Rivera.
What's in Colonel McCormick's old office?
Right. You know, there's got to be some stuff here.
I think Randy Michaels raided it back in the day. So yeah. I think it's all gone. All right, so let's keep going. 815 says we have a Hams Beer Bear Decanter.
Nice.
So a Hams Beer Bear Decanter. Is it worth anything? What is a bear decanter?
It's basically a decorative glass or jar or container. Glass container, mm-hmm. I guess, would be the word.
Was Hams the cartoon that the beer commercial that they'd have the cartoon where the bears were kind of hanging out?
Right, and
was
they
that
had
a Hams beer commercial?
Yeah, and they had a character that looked like Grizzly Adams, but it wasn't Grizzly Adams. And then they actually named the bear because I'm all about Hams and Pabst, you know, barware. And that's why I'm here, right? That's why you have me. But the bear was called Sasha. The cartoon bear was called Sasha. And but they used a Grizzly Adams type person who could work with bears for the river type commercials that you remember as a kid.
Yeah, that was Hams, right?
Yeah,
what was
Hams.
What was the tagline? It was like, it wasn't Hams is spoken here. That's Stroh's.
No.
It's not Löwenbräu. Here's tonight. Tonight's going to be special or whatever.
Something like brewed in the land of sky blue waters.
From the land of sky blue waters.
I don't know how.
That was Hams?
Don't know how you remembered that, but.
Yes. All right. So a Hams decanter, bear decanter, Sasha decanter.
Here's a trendy fact about Hams. People are turning to Hams more because too many people like Pabst.
Is that right?
It seems like Hams is becoming.
I will be honest with you. If I'm ever at a bar and there's a Hams opportunity,
mm-hmm.
I'll drink it because it's usually about $2. You know, it's the last of the beers. Even Pabst now is beyond that. It's the last of the beers that are affordably priced.
Right.
You walk into any bar and you're like, oh, $5.50. That seems about right.
Yeah.
But then Hams is $2.50. You're like, no, that's right.
And that's the thing. I think the trendiness of Pabst shot the price up and. Now people are switching the Hams.
Yeah, I got a bunch.
So that's our.
All right. So what do we got for the Hams Beer Bear Decanter?
A good question.
The decanter of Sasha from the land of sky blue waters.
They've gone as high as looks like $500. As high as that? Yeah.
How
but
big?
As low as $100. I'll show you a picture here.
Are they big? Are they like?
Yeah, they're
stuff you put
about
on
a size of
dresser?
A football, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Let's see if I can get a sold one here.
Again, we get to that weird consistency in price.
Right, and they have gone as low as $30, but as high as hundreds of dollars. So, obviously, condition, everything.
Yeah.
But you can get quite a few for under 100, it looks like.
If you put the beer in there, it probably diminishes the value.
Yeah, if it's sealed still, if it has all that. So.
A608 says, how about a second edition iPad?
iPad.
Turns out it runs iOS 5.1.1, second edition iPad. So iPad 2?
Yeah.
The
iPads don't seem to be, I mean, I'm sure there is a collectible market for that, but the iPods seem to be getting much more like the first generation iPod or the U2 edition iPod. I sold a broken U2 iPod for like $150. And the first edition, even the like adapters just to power the iPod are going for like $30, $40. And if you do have a first edition, do not sell that at a garage sale for a dollar. It's definitely worth much more. And you could probably get the battery repaired on that. But an iPad, let's see.
What does the album that you two snuck onto your iTunes, what's that worth? is. I finally
buying another.
You'd be very excited to know this.
Buying another iPhone.
I sat down and I said, no. No more. Yep. I went through and I found every one of those U2 tracks and I deleted them off my phone.
It's like
it took me a while.
It took like a code, like a crack. Yeah. You had to go online to figure out how to delete it from your phone. And,
yeah. So the U2 is kind of dead to me after that move.
Yeah, they
I love that band.
Turned off a lot of people.
They turned me off. I don't need your free. You don't sneak that stuff on my phone.
You know, and to hear Bono talk about it, it was supposed to be something like, it's here if you want it. It wasn't supposed to be forced on the phone, but that's where the tech guys kind of messed up. They made it.
It's
so
always the tech
it was
guy's
there.
Fault. Always
and,
the
you know,
roadie.
Whether he's passing the buck or not, we'll know. We'll never know.
Bono's like, yeah, it's always the guys behind the stage. Right. That was my Bono. Greg Flam, at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news with Rob Martyr. We'll come back. John. We got a bunch of texts as well. More people on the line. 312-981-7200. It's a swap meet. Stay with us.
It's time for swap meet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure. Like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman.
And Greg Flam.
There we are.
There we are. It's
Bring
the
your junk.
Swap Meet at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. We are evaluating your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk, 312-981-7200. Greg and I, we were just discussing that in 2018, we may make a night change. We may move this sucker to Thursday.
Yep.
Just based on there's Blackhawks games on Wednesday nights for the entire month of January. So possibly we make a switch to Thursday. I feel like it's, you know, when.
Yep. I'll be there for that move. But when you guys move the building, I got a thing.
You're going to like it. It's up on the 18th floor. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm just joking about moving boxes.
Oh, that's
pushing
dollies
and stuff like that.
I'm going to need your help.
Yeah.
I'm going to need your help, Greg. There's a lot of stuff. All the junk that we've left behind, you're going to have to evaluate.
Yeah,
all right. Let's go back to John. John's back. Hey, John. What else
How
you got?
How you doing?
Hey, John.
Well, I have a torque wrench made by JCPenney.
Okay.
The model is 3827. I've been curious about this for a long time.
What makes it's just a torque wrench from JCPenney?
Yes. Yes, JCPenney doesn't make tools anymore.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say. Blouses with big shoulder pads, yes. JCPenney's got that on lock.
Right.
But the torque wrench, I'm not sure. I've never heard of a torque wrench.
Yeah, I was looking that up, and I just punched in the model number now that you gave me, and I don't find anything with that model number. But other torque wrenches by JCPenney are between 15 and 75. And there aren't that many, as you mentioned. They obviously stopped making tools a while back. They're not as high as you would think. I would have guessed more than that.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks for calling back.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Let's go to George. George, what do you want to brag about? What do you got?
I don't even know if it's worth bragging about. My grandmother gave me a box of books that she was going to throw away, and inside of them was I found two books wrapped up, and I opened up the wrapping, and they weren't like sealed, factory sealed, but they were just wrapped up, you know, independently probably by her. There were two first edition 1936, I think was the date, Gone with the Wind books.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh. That's got to be worth something, right? You get Gone with the Wind, first edition?
Yeah, two of them, actually. They're both identical. They look identical. They look like they've never even read. I mean, they're wrapped up and just dusty and not sticky, but when I tried to open up I didn't open up the cover fully. I just opened up enough to read it. And I saw that it was first edition, 1936, published. I think Macmillan I don't know what name of the company. It was the publishing company, but it seemed pretty stiff. The book seemed pretty stiff. They weren't, you know, handled it very much.
Right. Nice. First edition used has been going for like 110, 120. But obviously,
that's good.
You know, it doesn't get any more new old stock or mint, whatever you want to call it, from yours. So if you do sell them, make sure you do an auction. And you could probably start a little bit higher than that, maybe $299 auction.
Oh, wow.
$300 for a book?
Yeah, and I'm sure it would go up higher than that.
Oh, all right.
So.
Wow. Might actually just keep them and give them to my kids.
There you go.
You could do that, yeah. Or sell one and keep the other one. I don't know.
Keep them both.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, George.
Thanks
Thank
for calling.
So
what about a a slightly used Mike Dick autobiography.
Autobiography, right?
Where are those going for? Slightly used.
Slightly used.
A little rough around the edges. A couple rips here and there. Probably not a first edition. Probably not a first edition.
Eight plus shipping? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just seeing what we can get.
I'm just happy I was able to answer a book question. That's
you're not a
rare
book guy.
For me.
You went at it. All right. But you'll take it, right?
Tackled that one.
773 says, I got this CD for free in the newspaper, possibly the Sunday edition, Chicago Tribune, When Evil Struck America, the September 11, 2001 time capsule CD.
Yeah, there's quite a few online. They're between $3 and $20. I could not find a sold one recently.
Are they pictures? What are they?
They're kind of like a picture disc, and they're actually a CD-ROM. So
CD-ROM.
Yeah, instead of a...
Well, that was a technology that stayed for a second, right? Can you imagine were someone who's just like, I the future is ROM, right. CD-ROM.
I remember getting a CD by a band called, they did the intro to Zoo TV, We Will Rock You with George Bush. Anyway, their CD had an actual 3.5 floppy in it.
Oh, there you go.
Where you could actually video remix some of their videos with that floppy.
I think I remember buying, in the early days of technology, I believe I bought an external CD-ROM drive for some reason at like $70 and never used it.
Yeah, that's
the biggest waste. How much would that be going for?
It's probably a dollar if that.
I got another one for you. Ready?
Okay.
This is one that I can't believe we haven't brought. Maybe we have brought it up, so I apologize if we haven't. When I was thinking about free CDs that came with the newspaper, the Millie. So back in 2000, at the turn of the millennium,
right,
the city of Chicago commissioned a dance.
Wow.
And the dance was called the Millie, okay? And it was a real goofy, whenever the city gets involved in making art in any form, real goofy song that was trying to capture the Macarena craze 5 years after the fact. It was called the Millie, M-I-L-L-Y or M-I-L-L-I-E. And it was it pretty much came and went because it was before internet time, so you can't always find it on YouTube because there was a video that came with it. But it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And anyone who's listening right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. They had a reference to Sammy Sosa. You're supposed to, like, swing for the fences, like, rock, rock, John Hancock. Swing that bad nice. Sammy Sosa style. You're nothing coming up?
I can't find anything.
How is
with
that
it?
Possible?
And luckily, I was living out of Chicago in 2000.
You don't remember that?
I was living in Phoenix stuff 2000, 2001.
Pete Zimmerman, the Millie.
Yeah, of course.
Right. The Millie was the dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Pete remembers it was a ill-advised Mayor Daley, Department of Cultural Affairs.
Huge.
They put a CD out.
Anything about it.
That was like a video, and it was trying to be a Macarena for Chicago for the turn of the millennium, and it was the dumbest thing maybe created. How is that
oddly,
not,
I can't find anything.
How is that not A, on your list, B, priceless? I have one of those.
I'll keep an eye out now for it.
I got to go find it. I have one of the like CDs, the gray CD slip. I remember it. I've had it for years, and I don't know off the hand where it's at right now. But
yeah, find it, put it up,
right?
Sell it for $2 million.
Two right. mil.
Get out of this hellhole,
right?
Once and for all.
Or years from now, it will go the way of Chi-Town Rising. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be. It's better. Chi-Town Rising is a professional. Chi-Town Rising is the bee's knees compared to the Millie.
Okay.
Millie's got it's so dumb.
Yeah.
And I looked it up online and I couldn't find much. I can't believe that's.
I can't find anything.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Gary. Gary, what do you want to brag about, Gary?
All right. I was just telling your producer, he doesn't even know who Barney Google was, but Barney Google was a comic strip character, and I have, they made cast iron toy cars with him as the driver. I think it was back in the 20s or 30s. They had three different kinds, and I have all three.
Wow, Barney Google. Like the Google, like the Google.com kind of thing?
Yep.
Well, yeah, it was it's a comic strip.
No, I know, but it's the name Google.
It's spelled the same way.
So Barney Google, cast iron toy cars from the 20s. I've never heard of it. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just one of those cars in kind of bad shape goes for $127. That was a sold price. So, yeah. But there aren't, obviously, being that old, there aren't that many of them.
I have all three of them, and they're all in very good to excellent condition.
And do you remember how they sold them, or was it a premium, like when you bought gas, you got it?
No,
or...
no, I don't know. Yeah. But I wasn't living back there.
I just, you know, thought you might know the story.
I mean,
Gary, what was it like in the 20s, Gary?
I mean, these things are six, seven inches long. I mean, they're heavy. Mm-hmm. They're cast iron.
Yep.
Very well, big, you know, and the I believe the premium one at the time cost $10 at the time, and the second one was like a $7 vehicle, and the cheapest one you could buy was $5 at the time, because I saw an old ad that they had in a newspaper,
okay.
Or not a newspaper, in a catalog somewhere, and they were priced at $5. And maybe $7.50, and the expensive one was $10. That was a lot of money back then.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gary. Thanks.
Well,
for
I think you're
that's
at
awesome.
About $400 for the set.
Darn,
auction. Start an auction at that.
All right. There you go.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
312-981-7200. We got Vince. We got John. We got a couple texts. We'll do this. We'll take our last break. We'll come back and wrap up the swap meet. Stay with us. It's a swap meet, 312-981-7200. Greg Flamm in studio with me, Justin Kaufman. I want to get to the lines. Let's go to Vince. Vince, what do you want to brag about, bud?
I have an original E.T. movie poster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the ones that they'd put out in front of the box office?
At the theaters, yeah. I was an usher at the theater, Old Orchard Theater back in the day.
Nice.
Wow.
And, they let you take those?
Yeah, they actually gave them to us. They had a premiere of it there, and it was crazy.
Did you get any others while you worked there? I mean, because I know, like, Jaws is a big one.
I did. It was a lot of weird ones, old ones. I got, let me think. Yentl, I remember Yentl?
Okay.
I have a poster of Yentl. I had a stand-up of Tootsie.
Great. There you go.
Yeah,
I can just imagine
great.
You as a young man being like, I'm going to put this Yentl poster up in my bedroom.
Right.
You know, I did have fun with the stand-up of Tootsie. It was just a big cardboard. On one side, it was Dustin Hoffman, and on the other side, Dustin Hoffman dressed as a woman.
Right.
And I would routinely put it like in the bathtub and close the shower curtain. Somebody would open it.
Put it in the front window behind the shade.
What do you got for an original E.T. poster?
There's like three or four different ones, and they range $150 to $300 if they're the original movie poster.
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, if you could describe it, was it more horizontal poster, vertical? Because I can.
It is a vertical poster.
Okay.
It's still.
Is it the two fingers? Touching like the E.T.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
one? Okay, that you're probably $140 to $200
wow,
for that.
Look at that. There you go.
Okay, wonderful.
That's a big win.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks,
Vince.
Thank
you very much.
Appreciate
it, bud.
All right.
All right, let's go to Michael. Michael, what do you want to brag about, bud?
I have, from the mid-70s, I think, a coin that my father gave me commemorating the Illinois sesquicentennial, which I think is 150 years. I don't think it has any real value it's not money, you know, it was a commemorative coin. But I was wondering, you know, what that's going for these days, and I'll tell you something funny we did with it, too. If you remember, back in the late 70s, you could buy alcohol and wine, beer and wine, when you were 19.
Okay.
And then when I was 20 years old, they raised the drinking age back to 21. Well, we used that sesquicentennial coin, which had the seal of the great state of Illinois on it, to emboss fake birth certificates so we could get into bars.
Oh, nice. That's the best story.
That's a gift that keeps on giving right there, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we hit it with a rubber mallet, and it embossed the fake birth. Oh, it was great.
They'd very creative.
And
like
you said this wouldn't have any. You said this didn't have any monetary value.
I think you got all your worth on it that you did, you know, you got making your fake.
What it doesn't really show up.
Yeah, it's not showing up, and my guess is not really worth
right,
much
right.
as it is. It's but, more paperweight.
But still, I mean,
But the story, that's awesome. Do you still have it by chance?
Oh, yeah, I do have it.
That's
and it still has a little ink on it.
Yeah.
I've never bothered to clean it up. It was a big coin. I mean, it's about 2.5 inches in diameter. So
yeah.
it wasn't, you know, it was bigger than a dollar. Bigger than a dollar
right.
coin.
Yeah. You got to leave it out. That's a good conversation.
That is. Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. All right. Let's go back to John. John, you're on fire tonight.
Uh-oh.
Just finding your way in.
Hey, guys.
Hey, a different John. This is a different John. So many Johns, you can't keep track. All right, John, what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, we bought a house in Lake Geneva, an old house, and it had this wood-burning stove in it, the kind that you would cook on if you were back in the frontier days.
Right.
And it says West Bend Malleable on the side. It's big, and it's, you know, is this thing worth anything?
I'm sure it is.
Do you still use it, or is it just pulled out, or...
It's sitting in the garage on a dolly right now.
Yeah, yeah, they've gone as
it
high.
It weighs about 500 pounds.
Oh
yeah.
No, that's the worst. Of course, it does.
You know, it's the kind that has the burner plates on top, six of them.
Right.
It has an oven inside. It has a place to put the wood on the side.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything with
the
West
shape.
You mentioned West Bend or the company. I'm not finding that one, but 1928 wood stoves are going from, you know, 500 to 2,000.
So it might be
that's
worth
what
looking
I was wondering.
Into.
Yeah, I'm sure. It
sounds
got,
like,
especially if it's got like a West Bend, you know, logo, some more stamped or diecast.
But make sure that if you sell this thing online, make sure you say you got to come pick it up.
Right, shipping not included,
right? No, somebody else is gonna have to put their back into it, right?
Yeah, let the boutique earn their money if they're going to flip it for $5,000.
All right, thanks, John.
Yep, okay, thank you.
All right,
thank
there you go. 312-981-7200, looking at the text. 708 says, Justin, you need all of, this is Jeff from Homewood, you need all the lyrics. From the land of sky blue waters comes the water best for brewing, hams the beer refreshing, never stops refreshing you. Always sponsored the Cubs and GNTV back in the 60s. And then there's also a question for you, 815, that says, was Schlitz the king in the 50s and 60s, the beer that made Milwaukee famous?
Yeah, that Schlitz is still has some pretty good value. I know from being at Palatine, there's some great bar advertising, you know, lights and different types of advertising that they get pretty good money. And then they also had the other slogan for Schlitz, when you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
That's a strong one.
Looking at the history of the company, it was their big claim to fame is kind of the first outside Chicago beer company. So Milwaukee, of course. So,
there you go. And you learn, not only do we evaluate your collectibles, but you also learn something.
One stop.
One stop with Greg Flam at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, here on The Download every Wednesday night, shifting to Thursdays in 2018. But we'll be back for one more holiday special next Wednesday. Greg Flam and the Swap Meet. Great to see you, buddy.
Thanks. See you at Palatine.